You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Raiders last night. Week one in the NFL was absolutely fantastic, and it was ended in the proper way with a great, great overtime game between the Raiders and the Ravens. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. Be a part of the ESPN Radio Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We're getting you involved early at 888-SAY-ESPN, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
He's got Renfro is to his left, and Zay Jones.
Here they come.
Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown. This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
Ah, the great Brent Musburger on Raiders Nation Radio as Derek Carr connects with the former Buffalo Bills, Zay Jones, to win it in overtime for the Raiders after they already thought they had it won on a touchdown pass to Edwards earlier, but it turned out he was short of the goal line, and the Raiders turned it over at the goal line. Thankfully, there for their sake, though, so did Lamar Jackson. Boy, last night, Lamar Jackson, as exciting, as incredible of a player as there is, three fumbles, two of which were lost, were absolutely just killers for the Ravens. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And the truth is this. When you're Lamar Jackson and you are looking for your big-time contract and you are an MVP of the league, games like last night where you have three fumbles just cannot happen. I get it. For a quarterback, it's so much more difficult, to constantly be in position to take control of the football and have full control of it. What I mean is it's so much easier to cough it up because you're just so much more vulnerable. And Jackson, after the game, said, that ticked me off. I hate fumbles. I hate any time a turnover. Two hands on the ball. I could have taken a sack, if anything. Yes. Yes, Lamar, you could have just taken a sack. Now, there will be those that will look at a performance like last night and wonder if Lamar Jackson can take the Ravens to the next level. If you're questioning that, you don't watch football. Lamar Jackson is an electrifying, outstanding player. And while last night is a night where you do not in any way want to have moments like that because you're trying to set a tone for the season and you're trying to set a tone for your long-term contract extension. That would do nothing last night to change my mind about this. This is one of the best players in the National Football League. And if you don't believe that, you need to watch more of the Ravens play. It's a disappointing loss for Baltimore because they gave up 490 yards or 481, I think, to be exact, yards to the Vegas Raiders, to Derek Carr, who was chucking it all over the lot without much of a problem. Yes, yes, they lost Marcus Peters to injury. But one corner should not do that to an entire defense. Let's listen to John Harbaugh on his team's performance after the game.
Very, very happy with the team's effort. I mean, you know, the toughness, the resiliency, and you fight back. Even there at the end, I think the example is the goal line stand. I mean, those are the kind of things that that make us who we are as a team. We just didn't close the game out when we had the opportunity to do it three or four times. And, you know, that's what you need to do. When you have an opportunity to win, you got to go win it. And we just didn't do that tonight.
Have you noticed that outside of one or two little exceptions, like Mike Vrabel yesterday, NFL coaches rarely call out their players or call out their teams anymore when they don't execute and when they don't get the job done. And I hear more and more about effort. I heard a lot of that from Joe Judge. I heard a lot of that this week from other head coaches around the league too. When did that become a thing? When did it become important to point out that your team's playing hard and that can't be overlooked? We get that. It's week one. It's part of the game. It's Monday Night Football. It's in a stadium that has never had fans before. And we're talking about your team playing hard? Good for you. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you're proud of that. That's terrific. You know what it means? Nothing. You went home with a loss. You went home with a loss in a game that, frankly, the Ravens go in and they are the better football team. I still believe they're the better football team. I mean, the best player on the field last night was Darren Waller, but they're the better football team. Now, for me, if you're Baltimore and if you're Lamar Jackson, you're going to go home and you're going to kick yourself for the next day or so. But boy, I know that they have the Chiefs in front of them. You have, I don't want to call it a major problem, but could things go any worse for the Ravens in the last 3 weeks than they have? With all of the injuries that they have sustained, and not even at running back, really mainly Peters, with a loss like last night, and now this week, you get the Kansas City Chiefs after you just gave up 480 yards passing to Derek Carr, who, don't get me wrong, is underrated, but 480 yards through the air, or 480 yards total offense and over 400 passing? What are we doing? What's it going to look like this week? Here's a little clue. Jump on the over this week in the Chiefs-Ravens game. Have we said it yet? Is it 75? Because that's what it feels like it's going to be. If you're looking for an early number in an over for the Chiefs-Ravens, I would try to jump on it right now before that number goes up by about 5 points before Sunday. And as I look it up to our good friends, it is 55.5 according to Caesar Sportsbook. Jump on the over now. It's too good not to. Of course, that means it'll be 13-9, but I don't buy that for a second. Boy, the Ravens defense really, really let me down last night. As for Vegas, John Gruden, here he is about his team's win.
Well, I did know that they're great competitive players. I mean, they love football. They play for each other. And I think the fans witnessed that tonight. We got a lot of young guys that really stepped up. But I'm really proud of the character they showed. We were down 14-0 to the Ravens. And it didn't look pretty. It didn't look good. But when you can come back and find a way to win against a team like that, that's saying something. That's an impressive victory. And like they say here, just win, baby.
There were five cliches in the first 10 seconds and then the rest. Again, effort. Again, we play for each other. That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, just win, baby, is right. And that's what the Raiders did. And it shouldn't be overlooked as to what happened at the end of that game in almost blowing it. Frankly, that would have been catastrophic for the Raiders. That would have been one of those losses in week one that's difficult to recover from. You know, we always talk about the teams that lose in week one and the notion of going to 0-2, and we'll talk more about that later in the week. For the Raiders, if you almost win that game and you turn it over down at the goal line after Derek Carr hit Edwards and Edwards comes up about a half yard short, there's everybody out there celebrating on the field because it's called a touchdown. I mean, the referee in the game is basically having to be like Kevin Bacon in Animal House. All is well. All is well. Nothing to see here. We got to look at this. We got to replay it. If you go back and listen to it, that's exactly what he was saying. We have to watch this. The game is not over. The game is not over. Here's Derek Carr trying to explain the confusion leading up to that touchdown and the winning touchdown.
I was walking off. You know, I saw Coach Bisaccia come out signaling field goal, so I just jogged off, not really thinking about the clock. I thought they had it figured out on the sideline, and then I don't know what happened. I turned my back, and I was just praying we made it, you know. And I turned around, it was a delay of game. I was like, okay, well, he can still make this. And I'm like, get back out there. I hear in my headset, Coach calling a personnel, so I start running back out there. I'm glad Coach trusted us and put it in our hands at the end, because it always feels good to win that way, especially when you almost gave it away.
And if you saw Derek Carr's face on the sideline when Lamar Jackson got strip sacked by Carl Nassib, it was like, thank God. Because he threw that ball at Willie Snead at about 150 miles an hour from 10 feet away. I mean, it was an unfair pass to try to catch that close. There, it's not a touch pass, but it's not, I have to gun this at his head and pray that he catches it. He threw it so hard that it went through Willie Snead's hands, off the defensive back's head, and popped up 15 feet into the air before it was intercepted. And then he gets an opportunity later, as you just heard, through that win to go out there and get the chance to, or through that turnover, to go out there and get a chance to win that game. What a fantastic effort from the Raiders. But where does this leave Derek Carr? What does it speak to with him as a quarterback overall? Because I feel like so many of us look at Derek Carr and we think about five-yard wide receiver screens. We don't think about making big-time plays down the field, and maybe he doesn't get enough credit. Here's Keyshawn this morning from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on where his level is when it comes to quarterbacks.
People don't feel like Carr is an elite quarterback in the National Football League. I know what I see. It's
elite?
Funny to
you
me.
See elite?
I see an elite quarterback. What the hell's wrong with him? I mean, when you look at the way he played last night, he threw the ball around 56 times, but you got Waller on a corner route down the sideline. He puts up one hand to try to get a poster. If you catch it with two hands, that's another completion.
Yeah.
Why did you even remotely try to catch it with one hand? Just for what? So when you start to look at that, the interception in the end and the overtime, that's not a car deal. It went through a dude's hands like it was an open net. When you start to look at things, you got to know what you're looking at. Don't get caught up in the hype about who's on the commercials and who likes what. Don't get caught up in that.
Guys, that's what was so impressive to me.
Don't get caught up in that.
I'll tell you, I'm not at the elite level yet, but it seems as if year by year, Derek Carr is getting better and better. And you don't hear quite as much as you used to about John Gruden doesn't like Derek Carr and doesn't want him around or doesn't think he's his guy. And John Gruden wants Aaron Rodgers to be the Raiders quarterback. Well, if Derek Carr is at that elite level now for his career, I don't know how you expect to try to win with anybody else. Because when you have an elite quarterback, that's enough, right? That should be more than enough. And you look at his career numbers, and they're elite-ish. Let's put it that way. You know, the last few years, single-digit interceptions. He plays every week. He's not injury-prone. I think he's missed two games in his career. And while he may not throw 45 touchdowns, he's going to do enough in terms of 27, 28, 29, 30 touchdowns and not turn the football over all that much that it's really going to make a huge difference for a team. And if you watched him play last night, that was an elite-level performance for Derek Carr. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Is Derek Carr elite? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are the Ravens now in big trouble for their season, even though it's just week one, when you factor in that they have got the Kansas City Chiefs this week at home? Yes, but still, they gave up a ton of yards, and you have to come back from Vegas and try to make that happen before it softens up a little bit for you. And we know what all those numbers are in terms of going 0-2 on the year. We'll get to more on that, as I said, later in the week. Interesting development with the Green Bay Packers. They were atrocious on Sunday. I don't know if you caught that. They were god-awful. They were the worst. That was the worst performance of any football team that we saw on Sunday. And that includes the Atlanta Falcons, and that's saying something. Aaron Rodgers, just one of the all-time worst performances of his career. So Matt LaFleur was asked this week if he felt like the drama of Aaron Rodgers this offseason might have influenced that start to the year. The fact that they had to go through all of that in the offseason. And did it play any kind of a role? Here's what LaFleur said. No, I think this team's focused on now. And unfortunately, sometimes in this league, you get humbled. And certainly, we got humbled. Like I said, it's about how we respond to that. How we come back to work. How we stay together and get ready to play against a team I know is going to be really hungry coming in here. You know what's aggravating right now about Aaron Rodgers? He was a heck of a lot more mad this summer at the organization about how everything wasn't going the way that he wanted to go than he was after the loss on Sunday. Did you notice that? It was a lot more about Aaron Rodgers' personal situation than it was about the Green Bay Packers. And that's a big, big problem. Want to know what more I'm talking about? We had this for you yesterday. I want you to hear it again. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, yesterday on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on why the Packers should absolutely be worried about Aaron Rodgers.
I'm very concerned, Key, and not in the sense that I don't think Aaron Rodgers is great and that he'll rebound and he'll start to play better. But like when you watch Aaron Rodgers in that kind of like nonchalant, relaxed attitude, it's usually super cool because he also throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns. But when you see that after the offseason that they've had, after the concessions that the Green Bay Packers make, and also talking about this maybe being Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay, you expect a better performance. You expect a more inspiring performance. You expect more leadership. And we didn't see any of those things from Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
No, we did not. And this is what I'm talking about. Aaron Rodgers is never the guy that's going to go absolutely off the deep end and just start screaming and yelling at everybody. But when we watched that press conference about a month and a half ago when he first showed up to training camp, was there any doubt that Aaron Rodgers was ticked off? Of course he was. He went on for 45 minutes about how he was unhappy with the organization, about guys that they let go, about things that they've done, about things that they've, you know, and I'm using air quotes when I say this, promised. And yet, after they lost the other day, it's just one game. We got our butts kicked. What? Dude, shouldn't you be a lot angrier or at least feign it? Show that you actually care a little bit. After the game the other day, when you get absolutely embarrassed by Jameis Winston, shouldn't that raise a red flag to you about where this organization is and where this season is headed? Or have you checked out already? Because when that's your reaction after the game, it feels like you have checked out on the season. You may not have, but that's what you show. You don't need to be more demonstrative. You just need to say more than, yeah, that was a kick in the pants. We need to wake up. Oh, you know, it really wasn't that good. We didn't play all that well. And, hey, dude, you had no problem expressing yourself this summer. Either yourself or through every one of your former players that you talked to and fed information to, who all then went and did every interview possible. True or false? That's what I thought. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Let us hit the calls right now on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Joe in New York is up first on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Joe, what do you got today, bud?
Hey, real quick. There are different levels of quarterback, and Derek Carr is not one of them. He's had 3 years to prove himself. When they enter the white line into that field, the Brady's and Mahomes and what's his name from Green Bay, they're going to go out and win. These guys have not, Lamar Jackson, these guys haven't proven they win yet.
I don't think anybody said Lamar Jackson is elite. He's an electrifying player, but he's not elite as a quarterback yet, because you're right. Those guys are in a completely different level. Is Derek Carr elite? He is closer to it than we give him credit for. I wouldn't say that Derek Carr is on the level of those players. But he is a lot closer to it than has been acknowledged. when you see a performance like last night? Jimmy's in Tennessee. Jimmy, is Derek Carr elite?
No, he's not elite. I've been following Raiders since I played Pop Warner in 76. Diehard Raiders fan. But no, he's not. I want him to get another quarterback for years.
So you still don't think you can win with Derek Carr as your quarterback?
The one year he had almost an MVP-type level when he did break his leg, that was his only year that he's shown out with the Raiders. Even the passes last night, you guys have picked up on Darren Waller should have used two hands. The ball wasn't in a position to use two hands. And a lot of the passes that he did make last night were not good passes.
See, and I don't buy that. I think you're being unfair at that point, because I look at the last couple of years in particular, and the completion percentages have gone way up over the last 3 years. He's been over 4,000 yards the last 3 years, and his interceptions have basically been single digits each of the last 3 years. And his quarterback ratings are up each of the last 3 years. So why should I think otherwise? He's not elite. Derek Carr is not on that win a championship consistently like Brady and play at that level like Brady, like Mahomes, like Rodgers. No. Really more play at that level. He's not there yet. But boy, he's a lot better than we give him credit for. And I think if you don't want to give him credit, that's just you being a hater at this point. Really take a good look at it and understand. It hasn't been all about Derek Carr with the Raiders. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Coming up, that Aaron Rodgers performance, Raj put on the screen calling it shaky. I'm not going to call it shaky. I'm going to call it atrocious. Did that drop the Packers out of my power rankings? Our power rankings are next for the NFL. What if you could hire the same type, or what if you could put the same type of rigor that the pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, good news is you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you, and you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Who's in, who's out of the top 5 in the NFL? That's next. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
From the NFL.
Tennessee's problem is not Ryan Tannehill or their offense. Their problem is clearly their defense.
To college.
It wasn't a problem for the SEC to get 2 more teams.
Football lives here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Power Rankings. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Last week, we gave you our first NFL Power Rankings. It's Chris Carlin with you on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We came out asking you the question, are the Ravens in big trouble right now, even though it's just off week one and they have the Chiefs coming in? And is Derek Carr approaching elite level status as Keyshawn Johnson believes that he is? 888-SAY-ESPN. More of your calls momentarily. Let us hit the power rankings for week two of the NFL. Now, just to refresh your memory, week one, it went in the following order. Number 5 was the Rams. Number 4, the Packers. Number 3, the Chiefs. Number 2, the Buffalo Bills. And number 1, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So how does that get altered in week 2? Well, number 5 may surprise you right out of the gate. The Arizona Cardinals. That was an amazing performance that they put on in Tennessee on Sunday, 38-13 in thumping the Tennessee Titans, the team that is the favorite to win the division in the AFC South. And I don't know how you can watch Kyler Murray play and not get excited, because it is special to watch this guy play. Speaking of elite, he's not too far off from that status the way he's playing, and they have got terrific receivers all over the place. I mean, it's not just DeAndre Hopkins, okay? And it's not just so far along a guy like Christian Kirk, who made some great catches the other day. They love Rondale Moore, their rookie from Purdue, who they are trying to get the football to. And that Cardinals defense, I mean, I don't expect Chandler Jones to have 5 sacks every week and 3 in the first quarter every week. But they're going to get to the quarterback. They got J.J. Watt. They're improved. Did you see what the numbers were the other day on Derrick Henry? I'm sorry. If you picked him up in the first round of your fantasy draft, you absolutely saw what those numbers were. 17 carries for 58 yards. At one point, I believe he had 9 carries for 7 yards in that game. Wow. Wow. The Cardinals come in at number 5. Number 4, the Buffalo Bills. They dropped from 2-4 by virtue of their loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look, the Bills, to me, the biggest mistake they made in that game was not finding a way to get it to 17-0 when they were shutting down the Pittsburgh offense for most of the first 2.5 quarters of the game. It was 10-0 at one point, and when they were never able to extend it beyond that, that's when they were in some trouble. And when you block a punt, you're going to win the game, and that's what Pittsburgh did. And the Bills are still an outstanding football team. They go to Miami this week. This is a biggie. This is an awful biggie for Buffalo. They will respond, and the Bills will stay in the top 5. Number 3, moving up from number 5, your Rams. I told you. I don't like to pat myself on the back, mainly because I can't reach my arm back that far. But I can only tell you this. The Rams are an excellent team. They're a very, very, very good defensive team. They may not quite be as good as they were last year, but Jalen Ramsey, if you're not paying attention, is one of the best corners that we've ever seen play. And on the flip side, Matt Stafford's going to be the MVP. And the other night, you saw why Matt Stafford's going to be the MVP. It is like peas and carrots, like Forrest Gump used to say, Sean McVay and Matt Stafford together. Number 2, moving up one spot, the Kansas City Chiefs. And that was a tremendous come-from-behind win against the Browns the other day. They didn't get out to a terribly good start, but the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, and they're still an intimidating presence, so much so that a punter can drop a perfect snap because all he knows is that's the only thing he has to do. Catch the snap, punt it away. You do that, you're fine. They are still very much an intimidating presence with everything they do. And when you watch Patrick Mahomes play, it just doesn't seem like he makes mistakes at all. And every chance he takes seems to pay off. And finally, number 1. Not all that surprising. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers stay right there. Yes, they had to sweat it out in the opener against the Dallas Cowboys. But when you find a way to win a football game, when you turn it over 4 times and you have over 100 yards of penalties, it speaks about your opponent, yes, but it also speaks about how good you are. The Bucs are just that good. It was an uninspiring performance in week 1, but not enough to drop them out of the number 1 spot. Those are your power rankings, the top 5 in the NFL for week 2. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Donovan is down in Virginia up next. Donovan on ESPN Radio. What's up, Big Cat?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I've been a Raiders fan. I'm a 90s baby, so I watched that Super Bowl from the opening kickoff to the confetti field. We fired Tom Cable after we went 8-8, man. I know what I got, man. Derek Carr is an elite quarterback. He just doesn't get mentioned in it just because he's not winning in the playoffs, man. The only thing I want Derek Carr to do is just throw the ball deep to Henry Ruggs, man. The whole Raider Nation, we know what we got, man. We just want this dude to get the ball, man. Derek, if we get to the playoffs, matter of fact, when we get to the playoffs, you're going to see why Derek Carr is elite, man. That's all I got, man.
Look, you look at the touchdown and interception numbers, and they're not eye-popping. Most of the year's touchdowns are in the 20s. The interceptions the last few years have been down exceptionally in the single digits the last 2 years. Derek Carr is not an elite quarterback yet, but he is not that far off. T is down in Texas up next on ESPN Radio. T, what's your take on Aaron Rodgers?
I think you can't spend the whole offseason saying what he said, saying they're not giving him enough. And then actually the guy who he's upset really about, of Jordan Love, who came in, when Jordan Love came in, the offense ran smoother. And Aaron Rodgers, when he was out there, the team just didn't look the same. They didn't look smooth. They didn't look good. They didn't look like a well-oiled machine. And if you want to say what you're going to say about the Packers and what they did to him, then you got to play like someone who is.
If you want to say what you want to say about the Packers, go ahead and say it. You want to say that Jordan Love should start, don't you?
No, I don't think Jordan Love should start.
I thought you were going there. I appreciate the call. The problem here is I'm not even going to say that they looked like a different team. What we do know here is that Aaron Rodgers was not nearly as upset about what transpired the other day as he was about what transpired between him and the front office in the offseason. And that's problematic. You know, most times I find myself, I would say 95 times out of 100, I find myself in the NFL siding with players over management. And I was siding with Aaron Rodgers over management early in this whole saga. But as it's gone on, even with Matt Murphy or Mike Murphy saying what he's saying, the president of the Packers making dumb comments, and Rodgers calling it a beautiful mystery about whether or not he was going to be back, I was with him early, but I started to side more and more with management as time went along, even when they were saying dumb things. Because Rodgers was enjoying the drama entirely too much. If he truly wanted to not do anything, not say anything about it, not draw attention to himself, he wouldn't have been playing in that stupid golf tournament in Montana or wherever it was. Wyoming. I don't even know. Was it Montana, Wyoming? I don't know. He wouldn't have been out there to have questions asked of him. He wouldn't be texting Pat McAfee every 20 seconds to let him know what he's thinking. That's not what he would be doing. If Aaron Rodgers didn't want the attention and didn't want the drama, he wouldn't have had it. Up next, how long is it going to be until Justin Fields and Trey Lance take over their respective teams? We'll give you the answer in moments, with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere. Choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. It's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One NA, member FDIC. Up next, it is Fields, it is Lance, but should they be playing right now? We'll tell you who should and who shouldn't in moments on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Keyshawn Johnson.
They don't want to forfeit games based on your beliefs.
Jay Williams.
From knowing Justin Fields, I think his mindset is better when he's thrown to the wolves.
And now, Max Kellerman.
Trevor Lawrence, it looks like he's the guy struggling the most with the speed of the NFL.
Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
It's got to be sooner rather than later for Justin Fields and later rather than sooner for Trey Lance. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. George Kittle was on this morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the 49ers tight end, and naturally, the discussion came up surrounding the quarterback situation with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Just so you know, for your exact information, Trey Lance played 4 snaps the other day and did throw a touchdown pass against the Detroit Lions. Garoppolo played the rest of them. So what does George Kittle think about rotating the quarterbacks a little bit?
just something different. I'm a big fan of both Jimmy and Trey, and they both bring a lot of things to the table. So Jimmy was rolling and Trey came in, and I think just defenses have to do a lot of different things when you do that transition because they are both very different quarterbacks. So I enjoyed it. I had fun out there, and I don't know what Trey got, like 3 or 4 plays, but it was different, and I'm just going to react to whatever Coach Shanahan puts out there.
Yeah, so listen, with Lance, you can put him out there for a few plays here and there. Guys, Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 314 yards on 17 completions. All right? They ran the football exceptionally well, even when they lost Raheem Mostert with Elijah Mitchell. You have to understand that when Jimmy Garoppolo is playing at the level that he is, there is absolutely no need for a team like the San Francisco 49ers to play Trey Lance, who has not played nearly enough football the last couple of years. I know what the mentality is, and if you want to bring him in packages, that's fine. But if you're screaming and yelling to see him play, you're not wanting to win right now. And the 49ers want to win right now, and you have a very, very good option at quarterback. On the flip side, in Chicago, I don't know what the Bears are going to be playing for this year, to be honest. I mean, their defense, yes, it was the Rams the other night, but it was not nearly as good as you would have anticipated it being. Certainly as was expected that it would be. But Justin Fields, I feel like, has to be the guy within 3 weeks or so. Now, I don't mind the idea of someone like Fields sitting for 2 and 3 weeks to really get a sense of what's going on and watching. He played 5 snaps the other day. He ran for a touchdown in the game against the Rams. Fields is going to be the guy. That offensive line got even more banged up the other night. I just don't love the idea of putting somebody in there a snap sooner than later when they're ready for it. It's one thing if you have specific ideas based on skill sets like they do with Justin Fields. It's another thing if you want him to take over. I want Justin Fields sitting and watching here for maybe 2 more weeks, maybe 3 more weeks. At the latest, by week 4, I'm betting he will be starting for the Chicago Bears. Because honestly, where is that team headed? Fields needs to play. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio.